You know why? Fasting always, honestly, fasting always draws me close to Jesus. It always focuses me. It always, you know, and but I'm so resistant to it. I am so resistant to it. It's like, yeah, I should do that. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm right. It's like, never mind. You know, when you have a group, a whole church thing, you know, you really can't get out of it. It's like, no, you really are going to do this. And so you get into it, and then it's like, wow, this is good. God, thank you. Thank you so much for, I don't know, just thank you for the grace to make that decision, because, you know, that's not easy. And thank you for the grace to sustain and draw me close in the process. Hallelujah. I was so impressed, you guys. I was so impressed by how many people in the midst of all that weather actually made it here still. That was impressive to me. Even last night when we told you you ought to stay home. The Bowdens came anyway. and it was wonderful to see them. And it was great. But the engagement on the live stream was awesome too. It was like there was a good number of people, and people were engaging, you know, writing stuff in and all that. And just like, wow, this is really cool. And so I just felt, okay, so let's put that on hold for a second, okay? A lot of engagement. A lot of engagement that I just felt, and it wasn't just that people were on, but people were hearing things and contributing them. Like, not just hearing is a big step, but the next big step is actually saying that you heard something. You know, because that's a big, you know, like, risk, like, oh man, I'm going to feel foolish, or this is going to look stupid, or everybody's going to, you know, type back on there, that wasn't from God. But nobody would do that. But you know, it's a big step, and I was so excited to see everybody do that. So, you know, that's part of what I think God is speaking to us as we begin. Now, what I'm going to do today may not feel like real flowing, because it's going to be a little bit scattershot, because I'm trying to get several different, you know, ideas in here together that came up in the 3 days. And that may not be any different from how I usually preach, but, you know, it's still, I'm just saying it up front that that might happen here today. But I want to start with Isaiah 43. By the way, I've never had a duplicate scripture promise card except for that one, which I have had 5 times, because I've got them written in the margins of my Bible, and I've got 4 of them in the front of my Bible that I don't know why I saved all 4. They say the same thing. But I think it's just evidence that it just keeps popping up. And I just think it's an awesome blessing. If it's like, God forewarns me, stuff's coming, Tom. You know, there's going to be fire and flood, and but he says, I mean, it's going to happen whether I get that scripture. The scripture verse doesn't cause it, right? Okay, so it's going to happen whether I get the scripture verse or not. But when I get the verse, it's like, but you're going to come through. I'm going to see you through. And you guys, what is that worth? That's worth everything. You know, when we're going through hardships, the greatest thing for me and probably for you is like, am I going to make it? I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I can do this. But when you've already got God's word ahead of time that you are, right, you stay the course. You stick in there because you don't want to give up on something that's already been given to you. And so, you know, these scripture promises are like, yeah, that's the card that nobody wants. But the reality is it's an awesome blessing and grace from God. Stuff's going to come. It's going to be hard. It's going to be fire. It's going to be flood. But you're going to make it through. Let's go. Now, in the midst of it, isn't that simple? In the midst of it, you feel like, well, I don't know about this. But you always have something to lean on. You always have something to go back to. Just like Chad was praying last night. Chad was praying about, you know, Jesus going towards the cross with the confidence that God had already promised him that he would see him through it. Praise God, man. That was powerful. Very encouraging. All right. So one of the things that came out more than anything else, a scripture passage that came out more than anything else, and some prophecy around that is Isaiah 43, which, interestingly enough, is the same chapter that I got 5 times. But this is a different part of it. This is a different verse. I've never gotten this one before. So here we go. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 seem to have come up more than anything else, and here's what it says, and here's what I'm feeling today. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And then someone attached that, I think it might have been Melissa, someone attached that to Philippians. If it wasn't, you can say so. Say, that wasn't me. Huh? Okay, thumbs up. So Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So forgetting what is behind and striving toward what is ahead was put together with forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. And then there was a prophecy that came to us from someone outside of our church who had been praying for us that said, forget the past. Don't let the past ruin your future. Let it go. Move on. Be what God has created you to be. And so all of that, and when you can apply all of these things in two ways. You can apply them to yourself personally. And I know there were some people who were really struck by that and said, wow, I just really feel like God is speaking to me and asking me to do that. And the other way of applying it is to the corporate body, to the church, the BE family, the community that God has put you in. And remember, you guys, the church that you're in is purposeful. Because God could have led you to a lot of churches. Every church has an expression. Every church has a way of doing things. And we bless them all. Praise God for all the churches. Praise God for everybody who loves Jesus. Praise God for all the callings that have been given to different churches, right? If we all tried to do the same thing, we would only probably be hitting about 10% of the population. But there's a variance of churches because there's so many different types of people. And every one of us will respond to different things and be able to flow in our giftings in a particular place better than another place. So anyway, by the grace of God, God assigns us to our places, and here you are. So when we hear a word for the church, we are all hearing this as, and this is my place that God has put me for me to be a part of a new thing that he's doing. God has put me in a place where he is speaking over that place, knowing that I would be sitting there in the seats and in the sanctuary, knowing that I'd be on the live stream. God put me in that place because he knew that he would be speaking, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams the wasteland in your life and in the community of which you are a part. Beautiful. Praise God. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it this morning. I feel it. Birgit's shaking his head. Okay, you got to be careful because I'll call you out. Birgit's shaking his head. I mean, I won't say so-and-so's falling asleep. I won't do that, all right? Because I think taking a nap in church is an awesome idea. But Birgit, yes, right? Yes. So I'm excited about now. Now here's what I want to connect with that. So I said hold that. About the participation and the number of people hearing from God, right? Hold that, and then let's go back to this. Okay, God's doing a new thing. Let's look in John 10, verse 3. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. Do you know how that works? When they have a sheepfold in the Middle East, they got all sorts of shepherds bringing their sheep in there. Okay? And so the sheep are all mixed up together. Well, what are you going to do? Go in there and say, this one's mine, this? No, he lets the shepherd in, and the shepherd calls, and those sheep that know his voice, all those sheep that are his will follow him. And the sheep that have another shepherd with a different voice will stay. And so that's what Jesus is describing here. He knows that all the people he's talking to are familiar with this. You know, you go in, you call your sheep. Bah, I don't know what you do. But okay, they would run. Okay, and you go in and you call your sheep, and then you walk out. You know, the guy who is in charge of things, the watchman, right? The watchman opens the gate for him, that shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Melissa, Karen, Matthias, Jim, Vicky, Barb, Paulette. And they follow because they know the voice. Do you know what Jesus is talking about? You. He's talking about you. Jesus is saying, when he calls you by name, when he calls to you, you hear his voice and you follow. Isn't that beautiful? But have we talked about that enough in terms of owning that as Christians? Have we really gotten that to land in our hearts and understand that, yes, indeed, I hear the voice of God. I want everyone, and here's what I think I want everyone, I'll finish the sentence, I want everyone to be able to say, I hear the voice of God. And when I hear him, I follow him. All his own. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then Jesus says in 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Not one of them can be snatched out of my hand. Hallelujah. You see the beautiful thing that's happening? Jesus says, they know me. They know who. They know my voice. You guys, there's a voice of Jesus that you know. You might say, I don't know, I don't know. Yes, you do. Go deeper. Go deeper. Go into your heart and ask yourself, is this Jesus talking? They will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. What I think is that part of the new thing that God is doing here, because I believe that's a corporate word, and the corporate word is that this church and my people in that place will begin to hear my voice like they never have before. It's going to be a new thing. It's going to be a new thing that everyone, and you know, you saw how people were responding. Rhonda, you just got baptized a few weeks ago. This is all kind of new for you, and you were on there saying, I heard from God, right? Praise God, yes, and you say, yes, thank you, Sue. Clap for Rhonda. Ken, I noticed you got on there. I saw your name. Okay, good deal, buddy. That was awesome. I saw your name, Ken. You can't. but it was just like, this is, you know, this is a new thing. I believe that God is saying, like when he says, look, I'm doing a new thing. Don't dwell on the past. What I feel that some of the prophetic words were about were, I think it was from Lonnie Robbins, that we are like a book on God's shelf that's blank, and he's taking it down, and he's going to write in it. And he said, but it's not going to be a copy. It's not going to be a copy. It's not going to be, this is what we used to be. This is what we are going to go back to. And that's why forget the former things is important. Not because they were bad necessarily, but because that's just not where you're at anymore. So don't keep returning back to something that's not where I have you now, Tom. You're not that guy anymore, you know, when I used to be, you know, something else, young and egotistical. You're not that anymore. I got you in a new place. Don't turn back. Now I'm old and egotistical, so But it's like, it was like Vicky had a vision during worship when you were praying, Kelsey, of a little toy soldier. And God kept reaching down and turning it around, and it would flip back. And he turned it around, and it would flip back. And because you were saying, reach down, turn me around, hallelujah. And it was like we continually need to be turned back. Like a toddler who is, running toward the thing they're not supposed to touch, and you turn them around and they go back, you turn them around and turn them around. And it's like God's going to continually turn us around as a way of keeping us in the right direction. And I think you can trust that. That's Rhonda's word for the year, trust. It was really cool. Rhonda got the word trust and shared it with us. The next morning, she opens up her devotional, and guess what it said? Trust. Barb, Barb was our catalyst here with this scripture passage, Isaiah 43, 18, 19, and you opened up your devotional the next morning. And guess what was there? Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. He's up in Mayo Clinic. He and Deb, Deb went up there to have something checked, and it turned out it was nothing at all. And praise God. But he sat down and he said, well, the first thing I thought of for Brad Lepworth was Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. I mean, it just kept coming up again and again and again. And I feel like God gave us a sense of what that's going to be. I'm not saying that's the whole thing. I'm not saying that's complete, but Jake Gerst from Germany, you know, he's serving in the United States Army in Germany, and he gets on, and he gives us a word. Robin Clark jumped on, Alyssa and Adele, Fonda from Glassford jumped on there and said she heard the Lord. You said that, Fonda. I heard you. I read you. I read it, and you said, I hear the Lord saying, come back to me. So there was so much participation in people, Fernando, Marita, Glenn, Chad, Melissa, all of the people who were, Amy and Lonnie, Tyler and Laura from Germany, and Derek, John, Dave, Jason. Gosh, there were just so many people. But here's the thing. This is part of the new beginning. It really is. This is part of the new beginning, hearing the voice of God. Among a people and a congregation, a community where everyone is getting in touch with this. Like, oh yeah, I really do. That's not just for those kind of people. It's the common experience of following Jesus as he talks about us as sheep. If you are one of his lambs, he says, you'll hear my voice. So don't exclude that. Okay, don't exclude that. Don't think that that's for other people. Just remember that Jesus himself has said, if you are my little lamb, you will hear. And the new thing is that we are, I believe that part of what God is saying to us, I don't have any absolute conclusions, but part of what I hear God saying to us through those 3 days has been, I'm doing a new thing amongst you all. And I'm moving in a way that all of you will have a deeper and more clear access to my voice. And I also felt that the first song we did on Thursday night, Vicki, was, what was the name? It was My Father's House? Huh? The Father's House. There was so much in that song that just was like really just blessing me, the words. Maybe I've heard that song before, but it didn't sound familiar to me. And so it was really just really blessing me. And like, check your shame at the door. I wish I had the words. I should have copied them off. But you want to come up and sing it for us? But it was really cool. It was really good. But the sense that I got from that, you guys, was that there's a sense of a feeling of an atmosphere and a reality among a community of people. And let's start with people who are hearing the voice of God and getting in sync with his heart to create a house that's like the Father's house, the Father, the everlasting Father, the everlasting God. And then when Jake Gerst said he heard the word healing for Bradley Epworth for the year to come, but the healing was specifically of the brokenhearted or the bitter and the hardened hearts. And I just immediately related that to that's what would happen in the Father's house, because it was the Father in Isaiah 61 who gave the charge to Jesus that I've come to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus used that in his very first sermon in the synagogue, where he walked up and he opened the scroll and it opened up to Isaiah 61 and it said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to release the captives and to set the prisoners free. And it's like, wow, God, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing to see a house that is of the Father, where everyone's hearing from God, speaking to one another in the wisdom of God, and not out of our own stuff, right? The difference would be huge. To clear the air of all of our own biases and agendas and thoughts and opinions and just to be speaking God's stuff. And to see that as a place of healing of hearts. Wow. Praise God. Yeah, so that is part of what, you know, I feel that God is leading us to. And then to keep following with that, the Father's house and to the healing of the hearts. From the Father, well, we get, obviously, children. If it's the Father's house, we're the children of the Father. And we had several prophecies about being children of God. Amy Robbins pointed out Isaiah 25 and said that she heard for Bradley Epworth in the year to come on 25:6 of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. Well, what do I think? Well, I was fasting, so I really liked this one. When do we get that? Okay, but what I think of this is spiritual food. That when we all start hearing the voice of God and we all start conforming our hearts to the Father's and we start seeing healing of hardened and bittered hearts, come on, you guys. I'd rather have a broken arm than a broken heart. When we start seeing healing on that level, it's going to be like the best food we've ever eaten. Really. Were you clapping for that, Brian, or was that just... Yeah, okay. Well, I wasn't sure because, you know, I didn't want to... It's like an auction if you move. I'll take... That's an amen. But it's like wow. You know, like a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And it's like, this is the choicest food. You guys, there's so many things we can experience, so many joys we can have, so many things, but the finest wine and the choicest meat is when God does something in our midst. When we see a broken heart healed, when we see a bitter and angry heart that's been hardened, softened by the power of God. When you see a life changed, oh my goodness, dear ones, this is good food. Remember Jesus said to his disciples, well, I talked about this last week, I've got food that you don't know about. You need to eat, Jesus. I've got food you don't know about. It's to do the will of my Father. So in the Father's house, to do the will of the Father would bring forth what Amy had prophesied. And Tyler prophesied for us, Tyler Hare, out of Exodus 34:6. The Lord, let's go to verse 5. Then the Lord came down, this is Exodus 34:5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, Yahweh. Okay? So Yahweh came down from the cloud, this is on Sinai, and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his own name, Yahweh. And then he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, Yahweh. Yahweh, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And so what Tyler was feeling for Bradley Epworth was out of that we would come to know the character of our Father. That if this is the Father's house, we know what that means. We know the character of the Father so that we could be true children. Because we can't be true children if we don't know him. And he doesn't mean the attributes, like make a list and say these are the attributes, but to experience the attributes, to experience the character. So that when God says about himself that he is compassionate, we've experienced that. When it says that he is gracious, we know what that means. Slow to anger, abounding in love, and faithful. We say, yes, he has been. Kelsey, you said it today. Look through our lives, right? How faithful he has been. All of us. Or we wouldn't be sitting here. Well, there's a reason you're here. And the reason is God's faithfulness in your life. So when we see these things kind of like, you know, coming together, then we get to a bit of an understanding of, okay, God, what are you doing? And we just look at that. And even one of the nights, where is Lamentations? That's a hard one to come up with, right? Well, there it is. Okay, I marked it out beforehand. It's a very small book after Jeremiah, because it's, you know, Jeremiah's Lamentations. Like, where is that in the Bible? But Frank read for us Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then Roberta jumped on with, God is faithful, has been faithful. It was so beautiful. It was beautiful to have Dave Bucknam from Northwoods share how much Bradley Epworth, the Bradley Epworth family, had meant to him and his wife in their walk and in their ministry and their coming to Peoria, and all the things that they had walked with through, and the ways that they were blessed with things that Bradley Epworth helped provide and promote and cause to happen in the city and in the region. And it was really beautiful to get that retrospective of all of the ways that God has been faithful to use us. The Roberta, when she says, through it all, that takes that little segment of Bradley Epworth's life and pushes it way back to going way back to, she's been a member of this church all of her life, and she's my age. And so she's looking at how God has been faithful through every different kind of thing that we have gone through as a church. She saw the two churches merging, where we get the name Bradley and Epworth from. There was Bradley Church and Epworth Church, and they merged together. She was a part of that, and it's like, is this ever going to be okay? You know, and then she saw this church almost go down to nothing in terms of people. And then she saw it rebirthed, and she saw, you know, she's seen so many things. So her retrospective is huge, but she says, through it all, he has been faithful. Amen. And Rhonda, again, you said trust. Fonda in Glassford said, come back to me. Alyssa, rest and restoration for our hearts. Beautiful. Combining that with Jake and what he said of the healing of the hearts in Isaiah 61, and I've come to heal the brokenhearted. And then there was an element here of perseverance. Kelsey, do not grow weary of well-doing, for in due season you shall reap a harvest if you do not give up. We can't give up. We cannot give up. Have to stay the course. You've got to keep fighting the fight, running the race, keeping the faith. Because there is an element in the Bible that makes it very, very, very clear that we can give up. And it says don't. We would like to think that that's guaranteed we'll never give up, but it's not. There's something we have to dig down to. There's something we have to press in for. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't keep saying to do it. And so, in Hebrews 12, which Glenn brought to us and others affirmed, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that's keeping us from running our race with Jesus. Get rid of it. If it hinders you, get it out. What are you doing with it? Why are you hanging on to that? Why is that still attached to you? That thing that's hindering you from running your race for Jesus, why is that still there? Get it out. Why are you running your race with ankle weights? Take them off. Throw it off. Anything that hinders you in your race with Jesus, and anything that is sin that so easily can entangle your feet and trip you up and cause you to fall in this race. We don't need to fall. The race is hard enough without tripping and falling. Sin will put you on your face. And he reaches down, and he picks us up, and he turns us around. Hallelujah. But let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who's writing and perfecting our faith. He is the author of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. And who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. To always know that in our most difficult of times, our most hopeless of times, our most wearisome of times, he had more. But he stayed the course for you, for his little lambs, these little lambies that know his voice, that the shepherd comes in to that sheepfold and he says, come to me, Byron, come to me, Denise. And your little lambies follow after him. He went to the cross and endured everything that was involved in that. And there's so much more than pain, you guys. Pain was the least thing that he suffered from on the cross. Physical pain. But he did it to stay the course, to get the glory that is due to all those who will call upon his name and follow him and endure with him. And so this is calling us, stay the course. So that's where we're at this morning. I think this morning we need to understand there is a new thing being birthed among us. And it's not an old thing reborn, it's a new thing. And there's a new thing being released in us, and I think already that God has demonstrated that it has to do with all of us hearing from God and becoming an atmosphere of God's character, a gathering of people who understand and are willing to obey and follow the character of God so that the world can encounter that. And, you know, we all know that it's been hard. We all know what we've gone through in the last few years. But what God is saying, he's saying, don't give up now. Don't give up now. No. There is a new thing coming. There's a river that's about to be released into the desert, and everything's going to pop up. There's going to be life everywhere. When it rains in the desert, I grew up, right next to the Mojave Desert. When it rains in the desert, what looks desolate, all of a sudden in the next few days, you go, holy cow, there's stuff everywhere. Where was it? That's what's going to happen. We're going to look around and say, wow, there's stuff everywhere. Everybody's getting words from God. Everybody's feeling the sense of the Spirit. Everyone's getting stirred. Everyone's feeling like, yes, I'm feeling him. I know him. And we're going to see things like we've never seen before. So let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's pray for that. Gracious God, we just we want to come before you right now. We want to just say, God, this is you. We stopped and said, we want to listen to God for us and for the church and for ourselves. And God, you spoke through so many people. Thank you. Can you all just thank God for that? Just thank him for speaking. Thank him for just being faithful, that we sought him and he met us. And Lord, we want to take these words. We don't want to say, well, okay, we got our days of dedication. Now what's next? We want to receive what you have said through many voices and understand what it is that you want and become what you've called us to be, forgetting what is behind and looking ahead to the new thing that we're all a part of. By God's grace, we've been assembled here. By God's grace, we've landed here. By God's grace, we've been put in a place where you would speak this word and say, I want everybody in this room, everybody on the live stream, everyone who calls Bradley up with their home, I want you to be a part of a new thing because it's going to be happening in you as well as in the body. But I've chosen you. Remember in John 15, you did not choose this. I chose it for you. And he has chosen for us that we would all be a part of a new move of God. And it'll be such good food for our souls. But we must persevere. So give us grace, God. Give us grace to persevere. Because that's what it takes. It takes your grace. Give us grace to persevere, to press through, to fight the fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith.